you've ever struggled with having faith, wrestled with your past mistakes, or longed for a deeper relationship with Jesus, you're not alone. Bloom with Deb is a podcast for people seeking to grow spiritually and discover how God's grace gives us strength to face life's challenges. If you're ready to deepen your faith, join us as we biblically live out our mission. Hey friend, I have a question for you. Have you ever read Song of Songs before in the Old Testament? Or maybe you've seen it in your Bible under the name Song of Solomon. If you have, you might have thought, wait, is this really in the Bible kind of moment? And if you haven't read it yet, buckle up because we're diving in. And let me tell you, it's a love story unlike any other. Years ago, my husband's Bible professor at Cincinnati Bible College made a pretty shocking statement. He said, Song of Songs is the most scandalous book in the Bible. He even refused to teach it in mixed company. Can you imagine a whole book of the Bible too scandalous to be discussed in a classroom of men and women? That got my attention, and I have to admit, it made me even more curious. But Song of Songs isn't scandalous in the way that the world might define it. It's a love story, yes, but not just any love story. It's a picture of Jesus and his bride, the church. It's about his deep, unwavering, unconditional love for us, even in our weakness and immaturity. And when we truly grasp that love, it changes everything. Now, let me be clear. When I say immature believers, I'm not talking about some kind of spiritual report card where you either pass or fail, or an immature believer who's not measuring up or making tons of mistakes. I'm talking about those moments when we struggle, when we try to obey God in our own strength and feel like we're falling short. The beautiful thing is that Jesus sees us differently. He sees our sincere hearts. He knows our struggles, and he loves us right where we are. For the first 8 years of my ministry with CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ, I worked with high school students in Central Florida. During that time, I started studying Song of Songs for my own personal growth. And honestly, it rocked my world. It changed the way I saw God. It changed the way I saw myself, and it changed the way I walked out my faith. That's why I'm so passionate about sharing this with you today. So let's talk about this idea of the bride. When you hear the word bride, what comes to mind? A beautiful white dress, a picture-perfect wedding, maybe even a Hallmark movie moment. If that image feels far from you, from what you've seen in yourself, trust me, you're not alone. And yet, this is exactly the image God uses to describe us, his church. I'll never forget my brother's wedding. I had been a bridesmaid in more than a dozen weddings before this, but his was different. When I looked at my brother, as his bride was walking down the aisle, something shifted. You know, everybody's eyes are on the bride, but I like to look at the groom to see what he sees. And I just love seeing that deep, pure, overwhelming love that brings tears to their eyes. And my brother was no different. He had tears in his eyes. And in that moment, I got a glimpse of how Jesus sees us. He chooses us. He longs for us. And he rejoices over us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ." Even the Corinthians, who, let's be real, were a bit of a mess, were called to be this pure and spotless bride, weak yet sincere believers learning and growing in love. But let's get real. Why does God use this whole bride analogy? I think it's because a wedding is the clearest, most powerful picture of love and devotion. The groom chooses his bride, and the bride chooses him. They commit to forever, through every joy and struggle. That's what Jesus did for us. He chose us, and he's inviting us to choose him in return. Now let's meet the three main characters in Song of Songs. First, we have King Solomon, who wrote this book during his early years when he was passionately pursuing God. Then there's the Shulamite woman, the young maiden who goes on a transformational journey, starting off immature, but ending up as the radiant, mature bride. And finally, we have the Daughters of Jerusalem, a group of young women who admire the bride's devotion to the king, but don't quite understand it themselves. They're kind of like those people in our lives who see our faith and say, "Well, that's nice for you, but I don't really get it." Well, let me introduce you to my friend Simone, who reminds me so much of the Shulamite woman back when she was in college. She shared in her blog, "Before now, my foundation wasn't 100% set on God. I was and am imperfect, but God is perfect, and in this, I am overflowing with thankfulness." Maybe you can relate to that. Feeling like your foundation has been a little shaky, but longing to be firmly rooted in Christ. And then there's my longtime friend, Franny. For years, she was like the Daughters of Jerusalem, curious, but not quite sure about this whole faith journey. One day, I asked her what had been the biggest obstacle in her walk with God. She answered honestly, "My flesh and sin nature. I get jealous. I get mad when I feel like God is blessing others more than me. I'm a work in progress." Well, aren't we all? But here's the good news. God is patient and he is faithful. And as we keep walking with him, we grow. Friend, I don't know where you are in your faith journey right now. Maybe you feel strong and confident, and maybe you feel like you've fallen more times than you can count. If I could go back and talk to my 25-year-old self, the girl who thought she had to prove her love to God through perfect performance, I'd tell her this: you will fall over and over, but instead of understanding God's love less, you will fall in love with him even more. His grace never runs out. If you ever felt like you had to have it all together before coming to God, let me remind you of what it says in Philippians 1:6. God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You don't have to strive for perfection. Jesus has already clothed you in his righteousness. And maybe today you're hearing Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. Maybe you've known about him for a while, but never really said yes to his invitation. If that's you, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe in you, and I want to receive you as my Savior and Lord. Take control of my life and make me the person you created me to be. Thank you for loving me unconditionally. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. God has an incredible journey ahead for you. This is a similar prayer I prayed in that Subway sub shop on January 12, 1993. And I'll tell you, it has been a long journey of over 33 years of walking with God and seeing him do amazing things. And I've gotten to experience some incredible adventures. I've traveled around the world. I've gotten to speak to many different audiences of all different age groups. It's been an exciting life, and I'm grateful for every minute of it, the good and the bad and the ugly. Well, I'd love to hear your thoughts. So what stood out to you today? That's it for episode 2. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss what's coming next. Let's walk this journey together, growing in faith, grace, and purpose. Jesus loves you more than you can imagine. Until next time, keep blooming. Thanks for joining the Bloom with Deb podcast. If you want to dive deeper into the meaning behind Song of Songs, check out my Bloom book series available on Amazon. The first book is Learning to Bloom, and the second is Time to Bloom. Great to read on your own, but even better when you gather your friends and use the discussion questions provided for each chapter. If you have questions you want answered on the podcast, email me at bloomwithdeb@gmail.com. See you next time.